Varicosity Vein Center, providing vein treatment relief for vein disease, spider veins, and varicose veins for over 20 years. Their team of doctors and vein specialists deliver techniques and care for residents in Jackson, Madison, Ridgeland, and Central Mississippi. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
This podcast is a local production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting and depends on the support of listeners like you. If you can, please donate today at mpbonline.org. And thanks.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back to Horticulture's Felder Rushing, and I'm ready to talk with you about gardening. I've been fired up for the past 2 days hanging around master gardeners, over 300 master gardeners from all over the state. A lot of them are faithful listeners of Gestalt Gardener, Java. So, you know, everybody's saying, where's Java?
Well, that would be nice to be on the coast, but I think I got a touch of the spring fever, man. It's taking over my house, and everybody's coughing, and so it's maybe best I stayed away.
Yeah, well, me too. I mean, a lot of people think I'm cheerful this time of year. Nope, it's the antihistamines, and I'm loaded with them. Susan and I walked down the beach. We're down in Biloxi, and we walked. Well, we could see a restaurant in the distance, so we said, let's just walk because we like to walk. 3.5 miles later, we got an Uber back to the hotel. But anyway, the whole time it was blowing, just stuff off the seaweed. It's something unique about the seaside smell, and I think it's just mostly seaweed. But I don't think I'm allergic to it, but it sure did. Something's got me clogged up.
Yeah, it's just that time of the year, man. We're supposed to get a little bit of rain here in Jackson today, which is kind of dampening some of the Jackson State and Tougaloo graduations this weekend. But other than that, I think it's a good time for the gardens, right?
Yeah. Hey, it's Tougaloo. Where do they have the graduation? I mean, because they don't have any place big enough to hold everybody.
And that's the thing. They always have it outside in the they have a big lawn area back on the campus. But I guess if it does get bad, they can – potentially try to move it to the gym or something. I'm not sure.
Ooh. Yeah. And it may be a little rainy out there, but it's still May in Mississippi, which means it's going to be humid. Because I bet you there's not enough air conditioning in the gymnasium to calm me down. But anyway, everything's going pretty good. I gave a talk last week in Hattiesburg at the Veterans Center for the Daughters of American Revolution thing. This week I've done quite a few things, but I want to throw out that tomorrow morning I'm doing a thing in Loosedale. It's sponsored by the Ivy League Garden Club. It's a fundraiser for Ivy League Garden Club. And details about that you can find that on Mississippi Facebook. But one of the things I want to point out is I spent yesterday afternoon, after I got done with my lectures, just driving around Ocean Springs. You know, Ocean Springs is just a little community right across the bay from Biloxi. You could easily pass by it, but man, oh man, Job, I tell you, we drove around the little back streets, and that is one of the funkiest places in Mississippi. I saw more bottle trees and cool little combinations of things planted in chairs. It's just a community where people feel like they can be themselves. It's really egalitarian. So a shout out to all the folks who live in Ocean Springs who feel good about being themselves.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, man. And you know what else is beautiful on this Friday morning, and I guess Saturday if you listen to the replay. But we have a full bank of calls, man, to get to.
Okay, and don't let me forget. Last week, Job, I forgot to mention about the tomato lady. So remind me of that sometime.
I will do. But let's go to let's see. This is funny. We have Oliver in Olive Branch as our first call.
Hey, Oliver, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, Phil. How about you sit?
So far, so good, man. I'm sitting in air conditioning. Gonna be here the rest of the day.
All right, so that means poon side for later today, then, because it's gonna be muggy.
Yeah, listen, what you got going?
I got this bag of stuff. It's a 3606. That's nitrogen.
Yeah.
What do you put that on?
Well, it really depends. That, first of all, it's an agriculture fertilizer. Do you have the bag with you? Can you tell on there whether it's ammonium nitrate or anything else? What kind of nitrogen it is?
It just says nitrate.
Okay, nitrate. I don't know what kind. There's different kinds of nitrates and fertilizer. Some are real fast and real strong and temporary. It's almost like throwing cocaine on your plants. I mean, it is seriously strong stuff. But there's another kind called urea nitrogen, and it's long-lasting, it's slow and gentle, it feeds for a long time. So without knowing what kind you've got, I would just say it's real strong. I'll give you an idea. Officially, and keep in mind, I tested soils for Mississippi State. The official recommended rate that farmers would put that down would be 3 pounds to 1,000 square feet. Now, that's a pint, that's a quart and a half over 1,000 square feet. That ain't much.
Well, could I put that in my Zoya grass?
Oh yeah, you can put it on the lawn, but just keep in mind a pint jar is a pound, and they want 3 pounds to go over 1,000 square feet. So you got enough to do half your neighborhood. Just don't. It's strong. It's sort of like putting it's like putting salt on an egg. Don't overdo it.
Well, if it sure make it good though with some pepper.
Oh, it'll make a jump. You know, I mean, like, nitrogen makes plants grow green. A lot of people don't realize that middle of them, that phosphorus, it doesn't make plants flower or fruit. It just helps them. But nitrogen makes plants grow. It's like giving a kid a candy bar. You know, it's going to make them bounce off the walls. So, you
know,
don't. Yeah. So what I'm saying, you got a whole bag of Halloween candy, put it out a little at a time.
Okay. So that means I have to use my little hand spreader to put that out.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not easy. Like I say, it's strong stuff. It's one of the reasons I normally don't recommend gardeners use it, because it's hard to put out such a small amount.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for that.
You don't have to put it all out at one time. You can save some for later.
No. Okay. Oh, for sure.
See you, man. Hey, here's something else you can do. Take your hand sprayer, go out on a hillside, and write somebody's name with this stuff. And watch your name show up in green within 2 weeks.
You got to be, no, I'd love to green up my yard.
I'm just saying, you can mess with somebody if you want to.
Right. Well, I found the bag. It was in the street, and I picked it up. So I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to use it wisely.
Okay. Well, just because it's free doesn't mean you need it to snort it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay, Felderwood. Well, thank you for that advice, my friend.
See ya.
Have a good day. Okay. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate it, Oliver. Thank you. Okay, Java, before I get in too much more trouble with my bad metaphors, let's head up to Oxford and talk to Mary. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, we have a big pine tree in our backyard. It's huge, and it just rains needles all the time. And the people that owned the house before us didn't really keep up with them, and we haven't. So we finally gotten up there and have cleaned up the needles, and, of course, the grass is gone. It's just dirt underneath. So I'm wondering if there's any grass we could plant that would do well in the shade, because we have a lot of trees besides just the pine tree, and something that we're not really outside garden people, something that's easy to keep up with but that will look pretty nice.
Okay, now this is I'm of two minds on this, Mary. First of all, it is hard to get grass started in the shade. If you got grass in the shade and you keep it healthy without overdoing it, it can live for a long time. But once it's gone, it takes more energy to get started again than it can get in the shade. So it's hard to get grass reestablished in the shade. And I've been doing this for over 40 years, and I've yet to see a success story. So you can try it. Your best bet, even though you're at North Mississippi, your best bet is St. Augustine. It has the widest blades, and it can catch some more sunshine. But you'd have to put solid sod, and I would gently suggest that you're probably throwing your money away. However, let me give you a different an alternative. And this is so easy, and it goes against what we were taught. But instead of grass, why not just have beds of pine straw? I mean, you know, it works. We see this all over Jackson. And what you can do is, where the grass looks pretty good, make a distinct edge there, whether it's square or straight or curved or whatever, make a distinct edge, and maybe even put a little small ditch, maybe 3 or 4 inches deep and a few inches wide, so the grass has a distinct edge. And then on the tree side, just spread pine straw. You could eventually put some, you know, there's some shade trees that grow under pine trees. There's shade shrubs. There's ground covers. But if you'll just have green grass and brown mulch, that actually works. It's sort of yin-yang effect. It's easy. It solves a whole bunch of problems, and it works.
That sounds great to me. Thank you so much.
Okay, good luck on it.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. You bet. All right, now we're on a northerly track here. Let's go up to Boonville. Hey, Stephen, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have about seeds because I have been a keeper of seeds for years, and I'm mainly wanting to focus on cucumbers and tomatoes and things that'll make a good salad like that, because last year I actually learned to make my first real good batch of pickles, and I want to really focus on cucumbers. But the question is, how long can you actually keep packs of seeds and they're still be viable? I don't want to be wasting my time because I have actually made the mistake of mixing new seeds with old seeds.
Yeah. No, that's not too bad of a mistake. First of all, it's usually not a problem for 1 or 2 or 3 years or so. Every year, some of those seeds, depending on the type, lose viability. The bigger seeds like cucumbers may not last as long as the ones that are drier like tomatoes. But you can also put them in a plastic container in the refrigerator, not the freezer, but the refrigerator, and it really slows down their metabolism. Some people keep seeds in the freezer, but refrigerator is just fine. But as long as you keep them cool and dry, they can easily last from year to year. It shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I've kept seeds. I've actually have some for over 10 years now, and I know some of them, a lot of them probably aren't going to be viable, but I just want to make sure I'm not wasting a lot of my time now.
Well, now there's a real simple viability test, and I actually use this myself because I always come across people give me seeds, I get seeds, I find them here and there, and a lot of times I come across them buried under my desk. There's a viability test. It's real easy. If you'll count out, let's say, 10 seeds, and if you'll roll them up in a little paper towel and moisten it, you don't have to have it soppy wet, put it in a plastic bag, put it on top of the refrigerator where it's warm and dark, and after 5 or 6 days or a week, unroll them and see how many sprouted. That'll tell you what percentage of germination you got. That's a real simple, it's an old test, but barely damp paper towel in the plastic bag on top of the refrigerator where it's warm and dark. And you could test that way pretty easy.
Okay, just one more quick question. If, let's say, I'm just focusing on nothing but new seeds I've recently bought, what should be the average amount of time I should be watching for seeds to germinate if I put them in the ground?
That's a good question, and it varies by seed type. I have some seeds that'll come up within 3 or 4 or 5 days. There's some that'll take 2 or 3 weeks. Like beets.
Okay.
Beets aren't really a seed. They're a little cluster of seed, but it depends on the variety. I tell you what you can do. If you'll go online, go to MSUcares.com. It stands for Coordinated Access Research or whatever. MSUcares.com. And in the search box, just put in vegetable gardening. It'll take you to a publication called the Garden Tabloid, and it has all of that information for each type of vegetable listed right there, and it's written by Mississippian, real, real thorough expert Mississippi gardeners.
Thank you so much for all this information.
Yeah. Oh, and one other thing. Go to a garden center. They've got a seed rack. Whatever seeds you got in mind, look on the back of their seeds and say how long it takes for each of those to sprout. You know, cucumbers all going to be about the same. Tomatoes about the same. And others, write down the ones you're curious about. Go to a garden center, read the back of those labels.
See, I've also been really curious when I see seeds on the racks in Walmart, some of these places, wondering if they're trying to resell last year's seeds that didn't sell.
No. They, matter of fact, they clear them out. It's a industry standard. They clear them out and replace them. But a lot of times they donate them. So sometimes you can go to those places and say, we get done with your seeds. They'll donate the old ones. But no, they completely replace them every year.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Hey, have some fun with it. And shoot me an email sometime. Let's get a little dialogue going, because I bet you I can come up with some variety. You need to learn not just the types of vegetables, but the varieties. You might find that some are a whole lot more suited to your taste than others in the same group of vegetables.
I'm already seeing a bunch of different varieties of cucumbers I'm experimenting with.
Okay, listen, go to a place. There's several online sites that have heritage seeds. One is called Southern Exposure, Southern Exposure Seed Exchange, and the other is called I forget. Drawing a total blank. I've been there many times up in Minnesota. Seed Savers, and look at the stuff on their catalogs about the different varieties, and they'll give descriptions that'll just make your jaw drop.
Cool. Thank you so much.
All right, Stephen. Have fun, man.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Java, we got time to take another call before our break.
Well, this is what I was going to say. We do have Cindy from Brandon on the line. We got Francis from Alabama on the line, and we got another call getting ready to come in. So let's get ready to take our first break. But before that, I want to let everybody know that the Varicosity Vein Center is bringing you this episode's podcast. So we appreciate them for that. And for more information about the Varicosity Vein Center and all the work that they do, visit varicosityveincenter.com. But Felder, let's go ahead and take our break. We'll come back with Cindy, Francis, and Adam when we come back.
All righty. Me and Job and all the other folks here at Mississippi Public Broadcast, we welcome you every week. And don't forget, we have a podcast. You can go to mpbonline.org. This podcast is one of the top downloaded that we have. And a lot of people listen to it in their spare time. So if you got some folks who work during the day, go ahead and share the link to our podcast. Go to mpbonline.org. Find the link to the podcast of the Gestalt Gardener and sit it around. Also, all of our other locally produced programs is that we put together some amazing people from right in our community to talk with you about things that are going on in your community. We'll take a real quick break, me and Java. We'll come back with more of the Gestalt Gardener right here on Mississippi Public Broadcast. Stick with us.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, a fee-only financial advising firm and co-host of Money Talks. For over 10 years, Money Talks has been answering your personal financial questions and sharing knowledge about money management. Money Talks can be heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on MPB Think Radio. Podcasts can be found on our website, money.mpbonline.org, or on your smart device's podcasting platform.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing and Java says we've got a full load of callers, which I welcome. Let's start out in Brandon talking with Cindy. Good morning, Cindy.
Hey, Felder. How are y'all this morning?
So far, so good. What can we help you with?
Anyway, I have a fig tree that I rooted several years ago, and I'm trying to kind of save it for my daughter when she moves back here. But it's getting real leggy, so I was going to cut part of it off to, you know, root another one. So do I, you know, there's the real green part that just came out, and then there's part of the brown part. Where should I make the cut?
You said a fig tree, right?
Right, yeah, and it's got a real long leggy
yeah.
stick, you know.
But it's an outdoor, like the fig we eat, not an indoor weeping fig type thing.
Right. The one that puts out the fruit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The parts that root best are somewhere between that real floppy stuff at the very end that's got a bunch of leaves on it and
right.
the old woody stuff from last year. So what I would do is they root pretty easy. Follow a tip back to where it's stopped growth. To this year's growth, follow the tip back to where it started back in the late winter and then root the bottom few foot or so of that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Right.
And it'll root pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Should I put it in that same pot or put it in a separate pot?
The one
that it's already in right now. It's actually in a pot already.
Oh, no. The potting soil that they're grown in is not the good stuff to root stuff in. I'd go ahead and get a little bit better potting soil and maybe add some, you know what perlite is, that white crunchy stuff called perlite?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. But potting soil's got a lot of bark in it. You need something that's going to be a little bit tighter around it. Not you don't want to keep it wet, but regular the stuff to grow in is not good for rooting in.
All right. And then how long does it take Bermuda seed to germinate? I threw some out, but I'm trying to keep it watered. but how long will it take?
Once the ground is warmed up, and it's pretty warm by now, usually by the middle of April, it should only take about a week or a week and a half. 2 weeks at the most, but usually a week and a week and a half. But now here's the thing, Cindy. You do not have to keep it watered. You just need to wet it down. Yeah, little water gets it started, but if it cracks open and there's no water there, it can die. So you just want to lightly wet it down. You know, you could do it with a glass of iced tea in your hand. No, there's nothing out there to water. You're just trying to keep the seeds from thinking they're out in the desert. That's all. Just lightly wet it down. Okay.
And then after it germinates, how often do you think you should water it?
Well, once it sprouts, and you can tell, then what you want to do is water a little bit more deeply and then skip a day for a week or so, and then skip a couple of days. If you keep it wet, those new roots are going to stay real, real shallow. You want to get them to reach down. And they grow pretty quick. So the idea is to get it to where you're only watering about once a week, about 2 or 3 weeks after it comes up. So a couple of every other day, twice a week, then once a week, but each time do it a little bit deeper.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, appreciate it, Cindy.
Okay, bye.
Okay, Java, who we got, man?
Let's go to Alabama and talk with Francis.
Francis, what part of Alabama are you calling from?
Down near Mobile, over in Baldwin County.
Okay, well, what's going on?
Well, I'm so frustrated, I could just about lose my mind.
Uh-oh.
The last several days, I walk out of the house in the morning, and it looks like a combat zone in my front yard and in my flower beds because of armadillos.
Oh, boy.
And I mean, they dig and dig and dig. And, you know, all of the more nature-oriented people will say, oh, no, you can't spread any kind of little insecticide pellets in your yard because you might, I don't know, poison birds or something, but I don't know what to do otherwise.
Well, and unfortunately, well, for one thing, it's okay to use insecticides if you have a serious problem but you're treating a specific thing, not an overall thing. And armadillos aren't just looking for grubs and stuff. They're looking for anything they can find, and they're not even slowed down by that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, there is, and this is based on decades of people like me desperately looking for an answer for gardeners like you. Other than putting a fence out that goes down a little bit so they can't dig under it, the only control is to trap them. That is it. The guy who takes care of the American Rose Society garden over in Shreveport, Louisiana, he's a Cajun, and he can't control them. He said, we shoot them and eat them. And he has to go out every morning and replant stuff. So other than a fence that's baited with some kind of spore, a trap, there's just not much way we can control them. We don't have any good repellent.
We live on 20 acres, so if I, trap and relocate, they'll look at me like, okay, well, I'll see you in a couple of days.
Yeah, this is the real tough thing. Armadillos are not native to Alabama. They didn't cross the Mississippi River until the 1920s or so. And they're spreading like crazy. They're well over to the Atlantic Ocean now, but we don't have a good repellent for them or a good poison. So it's a real frustration. Mm-hmm. Get your trap, and if you can release them, the humane thing. Nobody wants to hear this. The humane thing is to dispatch them, not to relocate them. Matter of fact, a lot of wildlife people say don't relocate a wild animal because usually they're going to end up dying of starvation or run over or something. So there's not a good control. There's just not a good answer. Trap them and then follow your conscience after that.
After that, I may take them to some of the neighbors I don't really care for, but that would be mean.
Well, the only glimmer of hope that I can offer, if you decide to eat one, you need to cook them for at least 20 minutes because they can carry organisms that you don't want to do it. So let's just don't go there.
Let's just don't. My husband is the cook in the family. If I tell him about it, by golly, he might bring one in and try to kill it.
Well, I say if you could trap one, then follow your conscience after that, Cindy. Good luck.
All right.
Cindy. I forgot who I was talking to just in Java.
Francis in Alabama.
Oh,
come
Francis,
on, Felder.
I know. I was just, I got some new, you know, I had my cataracts done last year, and I'm experimenting with new reading glasses, and all they do is confuse me. Because all my life I've had bifocals, I've had to lift my head down to see what I'm looking at. Now I have to lift my head up to see what I'm looking at. And I just got bad neck muscle memory.
And then you know what? I didn't text you, Francis from Alabama. I just announced it. So that's me too. So remember this, because I'm not about to text you. I'm about to just announce it. So remember, Adam in Biloxi.
Okay, Adam. Hello, I am actually in Biloxi. What you got going on today?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Felder. Well, welcome to our city. How you doing?
Thank you. So fine. So far, so good. What's going on?
It is. Hey, thank you and. Java, you guys always are great, and I really appreciate you guys and what you do. I did want to celebrate the fact that marijuana has been legalized, medical marijuana has been legalized here in Mississippi, and I'm a hemp producer, or at least aspiring to be, and I'm struggling to find a good seed type that will sort of fit the bill. Because it's hard to find a seed that hemp and doesn't cross that threshold into marijuana.
Right. Yeah, that is real tough one. And luckily, there's some good online sources. And I actually have worked with growers in Mississippi. There's an extremely well-respected horticulturist in Jackson who's been doing this legally, you know, at a licensed place. And it's a tough one. There are some online forums, though, where we go that'll help. As a home gardener, you know, I don't keep track of all that. You know, I do know that a lot of the folks now are going with what they call I can't even think of the name of it right now. Anyway, they're short day. They don't need months and months and months to grow. I just can't remember the term. But anyway, there are some online sources. If you shoot me an email, I'll put you in touch with a couple of folks who are in the same industry, and they're in Mississippi, and maybe you can get a little thread going or something like that.
Right on. You know the person's name by chance in Jackson?
Yeah, but I'm not gonna say it on the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
And it's not an embarrassing thing, but it's a matter of privacy. You know, this is a commercial business, and we try to stick to home gardening on this thing. So I can hook you up with some commercial folks. It's same thing if you were growing tomatoes or okra. You know, there's so many good varieties out there. Unless you deal with it all the time, you can't keep track. And so I just turn to the folks that I know who deal with that, you know, professionally. And the whole idea is that me trying to keep track of all that.
I have struggled for a few years now with tomatoes, just trying to grow them.
Yeah,
I mean, the first year it was pests and water. Second, pests again. Oh.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny thing about it is country folks just plant them in plain old D-I-R-T dirt and they grow tomatoes. Matter of fact, I had asked Java earlier to remind me of this. I was given a talk last week at a Beaver Creek distillery. It's out from Bassfield, and they actually make all the flavors and the herbs and stuff like that they grow themselves. But anyway, I was at Beaver Creek Distillery, and this guy came up and he gave me his card, and I've lost it. I can't remember the name, but his mother is in her 80s, and she doesn't plant tomato plants. She doesn't plant tomato seeds. She gets a tomato she likes, she cuts it in half, and she plants that. She plants a half a tomato, and she grows tomatoes. And I'm thinking that flies in the face of everything horticultural. But you know what? I'm not going to tell an 80-something-year-old lady that she doesn't know what she's doing because she doesn't care. So some people grow tomatoes that easy. I got a degree on top of degree, and I can't grow them. But anyway, shoot me an email. I'll put you in touch with folks who are in your business, who are professionals, who are on top of that. I'm just not.
That works, man. Could you shout it out, the email?
Yeah. Well, go to felderrushing.blog, B-L-O-G. It's not an email. It's a website, felderrushing.blog, and scroll down, fellow things that email me.
Will do. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good morning.
Okay. Good luck on it, man.
Yeah, appreciate you, Adam. I got kind of scared a little bit when you first started the question, but
it's legit, you know. but we try to keep it home guard. You know, it's a legitimate enterprise, and there's some respectable people doing it. You know, just like the distillery folks and the brewery folks. You know, like it, whether anybody participates or not, it's a legal business.
All right,
and we
now
try to help them.
No, we got one more call before we get to our cheesy tune for the day.
Oh, it's a cheesy tune, Jabba. It is a cheesy tune.
I can't wait because I honestly, you emailed it to me and I haven't checked it out yet, so I'm going to partake in the cheese with everybody else. But here's Bob in Hattiesburg.
Okay, slide up to Hattiesburg. Hey, Bob, how you doing, man?
Hey, Felder, thanks for taking my call. I got a quick question.
Sorry.
I heard you talking about seeds and how to check them and see if they're going to germinate.
Right.
This is something that farm and garden centers are bad about selling. They buy ryegrass in bulk, and they're bad about selling the last year's crop and stuff that don't even germinate. With that process, you talk about germinating them seeds, putting them in a paper towel, and putting them in a bag and putting in a dark, warm spot. Would that work for a ryegrass?
It would, and by, when I talk about them replacing seeds, I'm talking about the companies that stock the seed rack, you know, the seed racks. But if they buy stuff in bulk, if it's on the seed racks, then it gets replaced every year. But stuff they buy and put it on the shelves, they may sit on it for a year or two. Anyway, yeah, give it a try. Just put a pinch or 2 pinches, or whatever, and just spread them out on a paper wet paper towel, roll it up. Plastic bag on top of the refrigerator, and it should sprout within a couple of weeks.
All right,
and just unroll. Yeah.
How long do these farm and garden people buy these in bulk? I had many a person tell me that they sow them and plant them and they didn't come up. How long would they keep their seeds?
You know, it depends on the business. You know, it's just like, you know, you go to a corner market, and no telling how long that Snickers bar has been on that shelf.
Yeah,
I it just depends on the proprietor of the business.
All right, Felder, I heard you talking about cooking something for at least 15 minutes, but I want to warn everybody. If they go cook a rat, they need to cook it longer than 15 minutes.
Okay, we're not going to go there, my friend.
All right, thank you, Felder.
I was raised eating squirrels. We're not even going to go there. Appreciate it, man.
All right, bye.
Jabba, this thing got off the rail real quick, didn't it? Did I start this?
Almost.
Did I start it?
Yeah, but it's also a real thing.
Yeah, and that word, by the way, that I couldn't remember a while ago, it's called auto-flowering. If you don't know what auto-flowering is, you don't need. It's one of those things. If you know, you know. If you don't, there it is. Hey, I found one of the cheesiest tunes ever, folks, and it comes right out of the 1930s and 40s. Hope you enjoy it. We're going to take a break and come back with more of the Gestalt Gardeners here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. I am on the coast. I've been talking with the Master Gardeners at their annual conference. Got a panel discussion with Dr. Gary Bachman and some other folks in a little while. And just having a good time, rubbing shoulders, real gardeners, trying to learn more about how to share gardening with other folks. We're going to take a quick break, a little bit of cheesy music, shake things up. And we got some lines wide open. Give us a call.
Hi, Larry Morrissey with the Mississippi Arts Commission. Please join me and my colleagues for the Mississippi Arts Hour, where we have in-depth conversations with different creative Mississippians. That's the Mississippi Arts Hour, Sundays at 5 on Think Radio, or download it as a podcast.
Welcome back to Horticulture Smelter Rushing, and I dare say that's been one of the cheesiest tunes ever, Java.
Mo, Larry, and Curly. Those are three classic names.
Yeah, but you know, the Pied Pipers, a whole bunch of big bands did that back in the 40s. But when the Three Stooges do it, it makes sense.
And somehow. What's so funny, Liz Gill, here who is celebrating a birthday today. So happy birthday to Liz.
Yeah.
She came in here and she was like, that's a song her father used to sing all the time.
Yeah. it's a good earworm, too. For anybody who's familiar with it, not going to forget it today. Hey, before we take any other calls, let me mention this. The Bailey Avenue Garden Club in Jackson, it's a really well-organized. It's men and women. They're having their annual plant sale tomorrow morning, the Saturday, whatever, tomorrow's the 5th. Is tomorrow the 5th, is it?
Tomorrow's the 4th, May the 4th.
The 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
There you go. And the next day, of course, is Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, so, it is all day.
Yeah. Raise your tacos. Let's May 4th. Anyway, from 7 to 11. Now, I try to get to it every year. It's on Forest Avenue in Jackson at the Catholic Church parking lot. So Bailey Avenue Garden Club, 7 to 11, Catholic Church parking lot on Forest Avenue in Jackson. They have some of the coolest plants that came out of their yards. Matter of fact, I was tending one, a real special little historic plant that's called the indigo, where they made indigo dye from. It's cool little ground cover, loads with looks like little wisteria flowers. And I was tending one at the Ag Museum at the Herb Garden, and a lady said, where did you get that? I said, I got it from the Bailey Avenue Garden Club. She said, that came from my yard.
Wow, that's cool there.
But these folks, they're real cool. They're real laid back. They're friendly. They're helpful. But I just want to give a special shout out because they're a special group of gardeners. So who we got now, man?
Well, we had Jeremy from Mobile, but I think he really just wanted to leave a comment talking about the cheesy tune was like really, really great. So,
yeah, so some people like the cheesy tunes and my pickup truck and Granny's chicken more than they like me.
So, honestly, Phil, to answer me this: this is the annual Master Gardeners Conference that you're attending.
Yeah, statewide. They get to, you know, all the counties that have them, they get together once a year and have speakers from all over. They had Doug Tallamy, who's a proponent of using more native plants in the landscape and ways that home gardeners can make a difference. You know, I mean, home gardeners, sometimes we feel like we can't really do anything because, you know, the climate and all the world and all this stuff. But he gave some real simple tips on how gardeners can affect things, and if just half the gardeners did some of these, it would make a difference. Things like, instead of trying to grow grass under the trees, put mulch and ground covers, because a lot of people don't realize that an oak tree has hundreds of different moths that their caterpillars feed on those, and they drop to the ground, and if they don't have mulch or dirt to get into, they can't survive. You just have grass. These things can't we think about butterflies and moths and the pollinators, we don't think about their larvae and how they need to survive. So anyway, he said, you know, make a smaller lawn, plant a few more native plants, including oak trees, which are huge, huge supporters of a lot of wildlife, and little things that gardeners can do.
Well, before I tell you this next little thing, I want to let everybody know that today's podcast is being brought to you by the Varicosity Vein Center. We appreciate them for sponsoring this episode's podcast. Wherever you get your podcasting, wherever you get your podcast audio, or through the MPB Public Media app. But for more information about the Varicosity Vein Center, visit varicosityveincenter.com. But Felder, that's kind of funny. That's like my aunt who lives in Atlanta. She's always sharing videos about what she does in her garden, and she just got her first butterflies of the season on her milkweeds and stuff like that. So that's kind of what you were talking about.
Really? Should be that. Is this on Facebook or something, or she just share it with family?
Yeah, it's a family group chat, and she sends it, and she just sent it, I think, maybe either Tuesday or Monday, and, you know, she was like the first one of the season.
Okay, well, now here's this between – this is the question nobody asked, right? But how is she going to post the pictures of when those beautiful butterflies lay eggs hatching the caterpillars, and the caterpillars are eating her flowers? Is she going to celebrate those too? Because you can't have the butterflies. without the caterpillars, unless you want me to have all the caterpillars and her just have the pretty things.
Now, that is true. Now, that's the cycle. That's the cycle.
Yeah. Well, this guy, so, Master Gardner, this guy, I mean, he gave a press, he gives lectures all over. Matter of fact, he's addressing the Mississippi Native Plant Society in Hattiesburg tomorrow. This Doug Tallamy. Anyway, it's a lady guy says, she says, so I'm supposed to just leave all these tomato hornworms to eat up my tomato plants? He said, yeah, plant more tomatoes. because the moth, the adult moth, is, I don't know if you've ever seen this, it's called a sphinx moth, a hawk moth. They're big, they come out at night, but they pollinate a lot of flowers that open at night, and we can't have a lot of our flowers without these sphinx moths. Well, they lay their eggs on the tomato plants. And so it's one of those kind of weird balances between gardening and nature. He said, let's try to make a little extra room for nature without nature taking over everything. A little compromise. Anyway, his name is Doug Tallamy, and I appreciated some of his comments.
I like that. Make a little room for nature, because you know you can put your what you want it to look like and how you think it should go, but leave a little room for really how it's supposed to go or how it's going to happen whether we're here or not.
Yeah, it's really not hard. Just like the lady from Oxford who called, and she said she's trying to grow grass on her pine tree, but she's raking all the pine straw away from the pine trees and then planting grass and then having to rake pine straw off the grass. Why don't you just put pine straw out there? That's the way it is in the woods, and there's a lot of stuff that actually lives in there. Anyways, don't want to get off on that too much, but keep in mind that pretty flowers don't make a wildflower meadow. People want to have a meadow in their yard. Probably the best meadows, wildflower meadows in Mississippi are along the interstates right now because the highway department can't afford to spray as much as they used to. They don't have the manpower, the equipment to mow as often. So they started letting wildflowers grow. They mow it once or twice a year, and they have the most incredible wildflowers out there that are easily as pretty is what you see in Texas, except for the bluebonnets. And that's where you see a lot of the birds nesting. Now, people don't realize that, I forget how many thousands it is, but birds have to feed their larvae caterpillars. Baby birds can't eat beetles and flies if they have to eat soft stuff. And without caterpillars, we can't have baby birds. And caterpillars are what we find eating on our trees and stuff. So anyway, it's all a big thing. Somebody estimated that a chickadee, just a family of chickadees, one nestful takes between 6,000 and 8,000 caterpillars from when they first hatch to when they fly away. 6,000 to 8,000 caterpillars. And so it's important to leave that stuff, even though we don't like it as people. Get me off this soapbox.
Yeah, we're going to go to break, but we may have to incorporate that hashtag make room for nature or something. I don't know. I like that campaign. Make room for nature.
There you go. There's actually a really cool website where if you are doing this stuff, if you're having a little area for wildlife in your garden, you're deliberately planting some native plants, you're leaving some oak trees, you're having mulch, you can have your garden put on a map of the United States and become what they call a national garden for wildlife. And I'll give that when we come back. But I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. We've got some lines wide open. If you want to give us a call, let's talk about gardening. Let's keep it to stuff that we can actually do. Give us a call, toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Me and Java will be right back after this break and talk with you about what's going on or not in your garden.
On Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, you get information about foods you should eat to stay in good health and tips on how to stay active. I'm Dr. Josie Bidwell, host of Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, and Associate Professor of Preventive Medicine at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. Listen to the show every Monday at 11 or subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy with your preferred podcasting app.
Welcome back, Horticulture Spell Rushing. And Java, I found this website of this guy, and I actually went on it last night to register my garden. But he said if half the people in the country would put half of their yard take out the lawn and have trees and shrubs and just a few native plants out there that the native plant. He said it would become more acres than all the major national parks in the country, more than Yellowstone, more than all those put together. And so they came up with this website where you can register your lawn, your landscape, saying, I'm doing something to help wildlife. He said just a pot full of stuff. Anyway, this map, it shows where all these people in the whole world, I mean the whole country, are doing this, and they call it the Homegrown National Park. Collectively, we're becoming a national park, and it's called Homegrown National Park. And if you do that, homegrownnationalpark.org, then you can register your yard. I looked at all the different states, Mississippi, and they have five levels of participation. We're at the bottom level of participation. And I don't think it's because we're not doing this stuff. It's because nobody's registered their yard. So anyway, if you're doing anything for wildlife, planting a few wildflowers, putting out some water for the wildlife, anything like that, go to homegrownnationalpark.org. Register your yard. Let's see if we get Mississippi up off the bottom, because we are doing this stuff. It's just not being recognized.
Now, I wonder if it counts if if you're kind of a little lazy on your yard work and the wildflowers just grow.
Does that count? Yeah. Mow what grows. That's right. You don't have to plant a wildflower meadow. Just leave some clover out there. You know, wait until the end of March to mow your grass. And pollinators in the late winter and spring, they don't have anything out in nature, not much. And so if we can get them through the winter and into the spring, they can take it from there. So just having a mow it grows lawn and maybe a little water feature out there. If you've got an oak tree, that counts because oaks support so much wildlife. Anyway, homegrownnationalpark.org. Go ahead and register, put your yard. Let's see if we can get Mississippi bump it up from one of the handful of states that really doesn't seem to be participating, because I know we are. We got any calls?
No, we don't have any calls, and we got about a minute and a half left. But I'm probably like the people at home. Tell us that website one more time. I was trying to write it down.
Okay, it's homegrownnationalpark.org.
Okay, .org. All right.
Yeah. And I went on, it's real easy. You got to register, you got to put your email address and stuff like that. But it's really cool. I think it's the idea of collectively. It's just like I was giving a talk in Natchez the other day, and somebody wanted to know, what is my favorite botanic garden? And, they're talking to a guy who lectures the botanic gardens all over the country, and I've been to all over the world, I've been in a botanic garden. My favorite botanic garden when I was in Natchez is Natchez. You drive around town and you see the coolest plants, heirloom flowers and bulbs and trees and shrubs, the most incredible variety. It's just spread out over the whole town instead of being in one spot where you got to pay 50 cents to go see it. So I said Natchez is my favorite botanic garden when I'm in Natchez.
And as you drive around Natchez today, tomorrow, the Mississippi Antique Showcase is
there
happening.
There you go.
So thank you.
There you go, man.
Thank you. I see what you did there, Felder. It's happening at the Natchez Convention Center.
Right. Well, while you're downtown Natchez, don't just go to Fat Mama's and get some tamales. Also, ride around town and look at the cool stuff that not only says Natchez, but it says Mississippi. This is a sense of place, and that's what these do. Anyway, it's been kind of a ragged program. We've bounced all over the place, but we've been talking about gardening. And I'm going to be back in the studio next week. I'm giving one more program at Loosedale in the morning. We've got a couple of things coming up later. I'm going to be giving a talk at the Pontotoc Farmers Market in about 3 weeks. We got a big, big plant swap in Greenwood coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about all that next week. Meanwhile, if you get a chance, take a kid to a garden center. Get them a big old pot they can barely put their arms around. Fill it with some potting soil and get them at least one culinary herb that they can actually help cook with, whether it's pizza or spaghetti or chili, whatever. Teach them how to have ownership of their mood, of their own food, and have a good time too. In other words, take kids out and show them how to do what we do best, and that's get dirty. See y'all next week.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.